Good morning. What a powerful way for us to begin to meditate on how God has brought us together. And before we continue with worship, let's have a few announcements. And first of all, I would like to welcome everybody to our worship service at Flat Springs Baptist Church. Exciting to see how God has called us all together as we are quickly approaching Easter. What a joyous time of celebration for the church. If you're a guest with us, whether it's your first time or you've been several times, we would love to have some information about you. That's why we have guest cards. They're located in the pew directly in front of you. If you could fill that out, place it in the offering plate when it comes around, we would love to be able to share with you a little bit more about how God is at work through our congregation, and we're so glad you're a part of that this morning. I do want you to open up your bulletin. I'm going to point out several things that are in there, but a couple of which I want to make sure we're all very aware of. So, I want a visual aid. I want to make sure we are aware of several things coming up that we would most certainly like everyone to be involved in. First of all, today is the last day I need everyone signed up with the money turned in for our Durham Bulls tickets. Our youth singing the national anthem, April 16th. We're excited about that. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. Please sign up, and if you have, I need the money today. So this week, that can all be squared away on the Durham Bulls end of things. Also, this weekend coming up, please pray for our youth disciple now. That's our local youth retreat that we'll have here with several host homes being the leaders for all of our youth. It's a great weekend. We're focusing on how we need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. I'm excited. We have a great number of youth participating in that, and I want a lot of prayer for that this weekend starting Friday. You'll see right here next to the piano and the organ, our Friends and Family Day brunch. And we're hoping that everybody will take these and pass them out. It's open for everybody. Come out, bring the family. We're going to have brunch for everyone. We're going to have some games for everyone. And, of course, the children will be able to participate in the Easter egg hunt and hear our Easter story. And lastly, this is what I definitely wanted you to see in front of you. You'll see this in every single bulletin. This is for each one of you in here to participate in, hopefully. We're having our Connecting Stories meeting, our visioning meeting that you've heard us talk about for some time now. It is still approaching quickly. And this is the way to begin preparing our hearts and minds for that time together as the Lord leads us. We want to hear about your story. There are many questions here, many statements here for you to begin to hopefully write and turn in, email, fax to us, mail it in, hand write it, give it to us, any way you would. Let us compile that. Let us have your answers to this to be able to pray over them, share them. If it's something that you don't want shared, you can write that on there as well. It's just a way for you to begin to engage in that conversation that is coming up in April. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that. So now as we begin our worship, I would like us to all bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful that you have called us together as your church. Lord, as this body of believers has come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, we are praying for clarity in how to do so. We want to make sure we are prepared for the week that is before us. God, there are so many responsibilities, so many distractions, so many things that may be on our minds right now that, God, we need you to be Lord of. And so we are praying for that. At this moment, in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend several moments preparing our hearts and minds.
Continue as we worship by turning to hymn number 329, Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin. Let us stand as we sing, please. Amen.
for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for these young people with Awanas and their leaders. Lord, let them speak to us later on when they speak to us through song. Forgive us of our many sins and be with us this week and bring us back safely next week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What a great group to see all of our Awana children up here, all the leaders up here. So exciting to see. I want to make sure you all can see me. We have such a good group. I want to make sure you can see. I have a couple smaller things this morning. So we'll make sure everybody a little bit more time to come down. Excellent. Always room to sit right in front of me so I can see everyone anywhere. I have some random objects. Some of them are kind of random. I want you to see. I have a paperclip. I have a small nail. I even have a little staple, I have a plastic pen, and my Bible here that I have with us on Sunday mornings. I want to ask you, I have a magnet here too. I want you to tell me, it's a magnet, which of these objects do you think would be drawn by the magnet and stick to the magnet? Out of all the ones I mentioned, I saw you first. The nail, you think that would stick? Let's see. See if I can, yeah, it did stick. It did stick, good. What else? What else would stick? Yeah.
The paperclip.
You think the paperclip will stick? Okay. Let's try. Let's try. You're right. It did stick. What else? You think the staple will stick? Okay. Let's see. Can you see it? It did stick. Really small. What else? You think something else will? You think the plastic pen would stick?
No.
No. It didn't stick. It didn't stick. It's all plastic on the outside. Now, what about the Bible? Would that stick to the magnet? No, it wouldn't stick to the magnet. What makes everything stick to the magnet? What is it? Why does it stick to the magnet?
It is metal.
Absolutely, right?
And when it gets close to
it, it draws it in. I like that. And you led me right into what I wanted to talk about. That is excellent. The metal objects are drawn by the magnet. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But for now, I want you to think about Easter. As I talked about, Easter's only 2 weeks away. That's really exciting. I love Easter. Easter is such a special time at church. We get to celebrate how Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. That's amazing. And we get to teach other people about that and celebrate that as a church, everybody here together and worship on Easter morning. It's always a wonderful time. But before Jesus died on the cross, he was teaching the disciples about something as well. And so I want us to read two verses in the Bible about what Jesus said to his disciples and talk about it just a little bit more, okay? Listen to what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. This is what Jesus said. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, all people, to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Now, what in the world would Jesus be saying? I'm going to draw all people to myself when I'm lifted up to the earth. Well, the disciples didn't quite understand that either. But what Jesus is teaching us and what they found out after he was raised from the dead is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for everyone's sins to be forgiven for people who believe in that and for people who believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he was telling his disciples that that message, that truth, his love is for everybody. So we need to make sure that we are always telling everybody about Jesus Christ and the amazing story of him being raised from the dead. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us about how powerful your Son's love is and how that teaches us to celebrate the way he was raised from the dead, and we want to share that with other people. Amen. I'm ready to hear y'all sing.
Some of our leaders, they're so committed, and without them, we couldn't have Awana. We know that. We have children from 2 years old on up to fifth grade. They've been busy with their verses. If you look at their vests and their t-shirts closely, you can see different gems and badges, and then they have some ribbons that they wear each night to Awana. And we, as I say, we've been busy with verses. And we've also been memorizing the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, some of the children know by memory the Old and the New. But right now, we're going to say the New Testament for you, everybody.
Yeah. Are you just to this? Or just
this poem is titled Peter's Denial. The hour was late, the night was dark. The courtyard was bereft of lark, or flower, or gift, or anything with which to greet the heavenly king. Inside, before the court he'd gone, condemned for being God's own son, for all the truth he freely taught, for the miracles he freely wrought. I stood alone for quite a while. Then John came, and without a smile, he beckoned me to follow him. His face looked grave in the twilight dim. I followed him inside the gate. Perhaps in hindsight it was fate that the girl who kept the door stood by and looked at me with a steady eye. Said, "I'm sure I know you, sir. Are you not friends with that foul cur who now is tried for blasphemy? Do you not know him? Answer me." My body quaked, my frame it shook. One single hurried glance I took to ensure that John was not nearby. Then, with a single quiet sigh, I told her, "No, young maid, I swear, by all on earth that I hold dear, I do not know the man you mean." She nodded once, but her gaze was keen. I walked with haste through the open door. Lying there upon the floor, there was a burning, glowing fire. As I warmed myself, a man said, "Sire, are you not that scoundrel's friend? One of those that he did send to preach his vulgar blasphemy and spread his foulest heresy?" "No, sir, I promise you, I never knew the man. I have not ever talked with him. I have not heard, nor thought upon, nor preached his word." "Oh, no," another man now spoke, one of the high priest's serving folk. "I saw you in the garden, sir. You were with him. Do not demur. Good people, I assure you, I have not in this thing told a lie. I do not know the man. I swear upon that I hold dear." The night had passed. It was the morn. The rooster crowed to greet the dawn. And then the Savior stared at me, and suddenly I remembered what he had told me not so long before. I ran out of the open door, and there upon the frozen ground I wept bitterly without a sound. But screaming deep within my soul, I longed for him to make me whole. I longed for him to make, no, as he had healed all those before, "Forgive me, Lord, please, I implore." Yet he was gone. He could not hear. My anguished words and many tears streamed down my face. I had denied my Lord, my God, how I cried. To this day, it still makes me sigh. In shame, I'm sure that I shall not forget until I die the look with which he held my eye.
And no matter how many times we deny God, all we have to do is turn back and look at Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Hymn number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 320, listen to this.
Oh,
What a tremendous ministry our Awana ministry is. I appreciate all those that work, for the parents that are faithful to bring their children. And as we pray today, it's good for us to pray for them. I started to ask all of us to stand up and quote the Old Testament right behind them to encourage them. Why are you laughing? Open your bulletins with me too. Our prayer concerns. Thank Cindy for playing for us today. You notice Regina Mangum's name is on our prayer list. She had a procedure done this past Friday to remove a kidney stone, and we want to continue to remember her as she recuperates. There are many that have been in the hospital or had tests this week. It's good to see Jill with us today. She had a procedure done this week. Nora McNeil has been in the hospital, is home right now. Robert McGeehy also has been in the hospital and is home. We want to continue to remember them. Nancy Riddle had surgery this past week and is now home. Many names. Wonderful opportunity for us who believe in prayer and the God we pray to pray. We have two families in the life of our church that need our special prayer. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we talk about unspoken requests. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that if each of us were to do a moment of inventory, there would be a need for specific prayer. For someone we know, we love, for some situation in our own life, with our own walk with you. And so, Lord, as surely as you have drawn all men unto yourself, we come to you now, Lord, being drawn by the power of prayer to lift these names before you. And God, we have worshiped you this day. Your children have spoken to our hearts again today. The young men who did our prelude this morning reminded us of the work that you have finished for us and on our behalf. And we have sung, Lord, turn our eyes upon you. Would you allow us to do that? And Lord, we invite you to speak to us. And we give you an ear, the ear of our heart, that we who have ears might hear what the Spirit says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your name. Thank you, choir. Indeed, that is our goal, is to lift the Lord's name on high. Our choir will be presenting special music both next Sunday and on Easter Sunday. I hope you'll be planning now to support them and encourage them by your attendance and by allowing them to lead us in worship. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel as we continue the conversation about decision-making. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're going to read verses 26 through 31, which is Jesus telling Peter of his forthcoming denial. And then 66 through 72 in Mark 14, which is Peter's denial. I want to thank Brad for reading that powerful point, reminding us of what it must have been like in Peter's own mind, and asking ourselves what it might be like in our mind when we become aware. Because maybe had the rooster not crowed, Peter might not have ever known that he had messed up. I pray today we might hear roosters crow. If there's a need in our life that would help us walk closer to God, we might look at what a decision to deny God looks like in our life and see what God would encourage us to do. Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31 and then 66 through 72. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? Our Lord in Mark's Gospel has just instituted the Lord's Supper. And verse 26 says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even though they all fall away, truly I tell you, I will not.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he said emphatically, 'If I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said the same." And then beginning to read in verse 66, "And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he, Peter, denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him, and they began to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And he, Peter, broke down and wept." Would you pray with me? Lord, do we need to weep today? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our closing hymn and hymn of invitation is "The Savior is Waiting," page 321, if you'd like to mark that. We're 2 weeks from Easter. And yet Peter will be remembered not for all the great things he did, and he did great things. But probably the first memory that many of us have would be, oh yeah, Peter. the one who denied Jesus before the rooster crowed. Do you think Peter might have rose up that morning thinking he'd deny Christ? I dare to say all of us who are here today and are believers, we never rise up and putting on our calendar, today is the day I plan to deny Christ. It just happens, doesn't it? Life just happens. How could we fortify our spirit today? Maybe we would not be as easily tempted and make that decision to deny. The first thing that we can learn from Peter was he underestimated his faith. Now, doesn't he sound strong in the first part of that text? The rest may fall away, and they were all standing there beside him when he said this. The rest of them, the rest of these guys may let you down, but I won't let you down. But there were no soldiers there. The violence was waiting in the garden. To underestimate our faith is simply to make this realization: arresting faith is sometimes different than a tested faith. I want to say that again. It's in the bulletin. A tested faith is sometimes much different than a resting faith. Right now we're in a resting faith. We're all here together. We all have the same agenda. We've come to praise the Lord. We're in the upper room with Jesus, and we've just had our Lord tell us, with no threat, with no problems, with no real issues, and our faith is at rest. But the testing's coming for each of us. It's coming. It's one thing to say we will not deny when things are calm and easy. I remember the story about the young couple that were walking around the block in their neighborhood planning their wedding. And the groom-to-be said to the bride-to-be, "Honey, I love you so much. I love you. And those vows we're going to say, I mean every one of them. And especially that one that says, I will love you till death do us part." No sooner had he said those words than around the corner, with a broken chain around his neck, came a dog. I mean a dog. This dog was half German Shepherd, half Doberman Pinscher, half Rottweiler, and half pit bull. This was a big dog. Snarling. Big old long chain coming his way. Immediately the bride-to-be reached for her groom-to-be. And there he went. I mean, this boy could run. And here comes the dog. And she says, "Honey, what about that till death do us part?" He said, "Yeah, honey, that dog ain't dead yet." Arresting faith, or a tested faith. It's easy to make commitments when they're easy to keep. But sometimes it's not easy. You know how we knew Peter wasn't going to make it? It's right in the middle of the text we read. It's Mark chapter 14, verses 37 through 38. Listen to them. Jesus has gone to pray. He's told the disciples and Peter to pray. And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch an hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Listen to that. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. When the dog comes, and the dog will come. When the temptation comes. And for Peter, it was about 3 hours away. And instead of spiritually preparing himself, he slept. He underestimated his faith. He underestimated conversation with God. He underestimated keeping himself totally connected to the God he loved. And when the testing came, his resting faith and his tested faith were entirely different. It's easy to take our faith for granted. Faith, by definition, is confidence or trust in a person or thing. The faith is in that other one's ability. I like the second definition that says belief is not based on proof. Will we accidentally find ourselves in that place where we said, I wish I had said, or I should have said? Even worse, that place where I said, I wish I had not done that. An underestimated faith will lead us to denial. I thought, how might I illustrate that? Well, let's do it this way. Everybody know what that is? It's a bottle of water. Right out of the fridge, it's still cold. Just a bottle of water. Can you tell what brand of water it is by looking at it? Probably not. Not real pretty. In fact, almost see through it. It's just water. Now we're talking. How many of you know what that is? Yeah, I see hands going up. We know what that is. Can't read it from where you are. Oh, but somebody did some neat packaging, didn't they? And we know Pepsi when we see it. In my house right now, there is a 24-pack of this water. And there's a 12-pack of this Diet Pepsi. And when I get thirsty, I go into the refrigerator. Don't answer this out loud. But which do you think I usually reach for when I need something to drink? Well, let's look at it like this. This is water, and let's say it represents God. I'm not really a chemist. I might have gotten Chris. That's what he does. He tests water. But if I remember chemistry, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. And that's it. You read all these directions here. It says pure water. You ever read the back of one of these things? Ooh, I don't think I want to. There's some words there I cannot say. Phenylalanine. I don't think I'd eat that if I just saw it somewhere. Citric acid. Caramel color, aspartame, phosphoric acid. Well, boy, it tastes good. It tastes good. A trinity, if you will. Two hydrogen and one oxygen atom. That's all there is. Just the trinity. Ah, in the world, I got some stuff. Tastes good, looks good. But more and more I read, this will keep me alive. And some folks say, this doesn't do me any good. In fact, some folks say if you get the brother or sister to this, that one with the sugar in there, you really are hurting yourself. And many are saying this one's hurting you too. And so, I'm just being confessional. I've decided I'm going to go get two of these for every one of these I get. And then, you know how the world is? Then they come up with A&W root beer. Now, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. Because the world tastes good. The world knows where we want to be touched. The world knows where we want to be challenged. And the world packages it so well and advertises it so well. And this is just water. But this keeps me alive. This is probably hurting me. The world is that way, isn't it? We're challenged to deny God and choose the world. Did you do it last week? I did. Some decision. Just a choice of where to go or where not to go, what to say, what not to say, what to buy, what not to buy, what to share, what not to share. If we underestimate our faith, that power of the Trinity, it can lead us to wrong decisions. Secondly, he underestimated the facts that were about to confront him. And oh, were they going to confront him? He didn't understand what the lordship of Jesus was about. He meant every word he said in the upper room when he said, although they will deny you, I never will. He meant it. But then when the facts, just the facts, struck him in that moment, he didn't understand what Lord meant. The disciples then, like disciples today, we don't really understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. We sing it, we say it, we read it, and we say we believe it. But is Jesus really the Lord of our life? I was reading an article that said one reason we might underestimate the facts of the lordship of Jesus Christ is because we overestimate our own importance. I thought it was very interesting. They call this the Lake Wobegon effect. Do y'all know Lake Wobegon? If you listen to the radio and the Prairie Home Companion, you'll know the Wobegon, where all the children are above average. In research, social scientists have found that when they went and asked peers how well they got along with themselves and where they were on the scale, that 60% of the kids they interviewed said they were in the top 10% of above average children. Now you do the math right there. And probably we would never voice it out loud because we've been taught that we are to be humble. But probably most of us here today think we're above average in our faith, above average in our service, above average, not average, not an average Christian. That social scientist went on to say that most average people think they're above average. Sometimes if I think more of myself than I should think, then I make decisions that end up denying the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. I make those decisions based on what I think and what I want and what I feel, instead of not my will, thy will be done. Not my will, Lord, thy will be done. Finally this morning, Peter underestimated the fear. He underestimated the fear. The fear he felt. Have you ever been afraid to say something to someone? Have you ever been afraid to push against what someone might be doing? A cheap faith will always cop out when it's scary. A cheap faith will always cop out when it's scary. A cheap faith. When we underestimate the fact that the dog is coming, when we underestimate the reality that we will be afraid when the dog comes, and that is a normal and natural way to be, and we can't overcome the fear. Are we estimating God correctly? You ever heard of the Reed mine, gold mine? It's right below Fayetteville. In 1799, there was a 12-year-old boy. His name was Conrad Reed. His daddy's John Reed, who ultimately had the mine. He skipped church to go fishing. And down in the water, a part of the creek he'd never been before, he found a rock. It was heavy. 17 pounds. That's a big rock by anybody's standard. Brought it home and gave it to his dad. His dad said, I've never seen anything like it. But I tell you what, as hard as it is, and the way the wind blows, it'll hold that heavy door in the back open. And for 3 years, they used it for a doorstop. Someone must have clued John in that there might be some value in that rock. So he took it, and there was a jeweler in Fayetteville. And the story says, you can go look at the Reed website. You can Google this if you want to. Said that the man said, I'd like to buy that rock. Tell me what you want for it. Tell me what you want for it. John thought he was going to make a great deal. He sized him up. You ever size somebody up when you're trying to make a deal? To come up with that price? In 1799, a weekly's wage was $3.50. That's a lot of money. He said, I'll take $3.50 for this rock. Thinking that he would, you know, maybe even go down a little bit lower. If the man said, that much? I can't pay you that. The man said, yes, sir, and he wrote him a check. A few weeks later, the man sold that rock, that 17-pound nugget of gold, for $3,600. At today's value, a 17-pound rock is just shy of $500,000. He underestimated what he had, didn't he? I wonder today if we underestimate God's lordship in our life. If we underestimate what God would do, what God could do, what God needs to do, if the fear of living in this world has overwhelmed us, and we, like Peter, deny how good God is, how strong God is, how powerful God is in our life. The fact remains we can learn from Peter's underestimation. But now the question is, for each of us, what are we underestimating? Are we living in that underestimation? I'm sure Peter didn't rise up that day planning to deny our Lord three times. Is there some area in our walk with God that our decisions that we make every day, or we made last week, or we're going to make this week, are denying Christ and His Lordship in our life? Today is a wonderful day, the best day, for us to decide not to deny. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment as we gather here and our hearts are united around the story of the Apostle Peter, who went on to be a great man of the faith, the one who really opened the door for Gentiles like us to enter into the kingdom. Man who would ultimately lay down his life on a cross and simply ask to be hung upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified as his Lord was. a man who overcame his fear and the facts with his faith and never gave in to the power of underestimation again. And Lord, as you went to Peter, who denied you three times, you asked that question, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I hear you asking me those questions. I pray each of us here might hear your voice, O God, and respond to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 321, The Savior is Waiting. What choice do we need to make today that might strengthen our faith, that we might stand when the moment of decision to stand with our Lord or to deny when the dog comes as we stand together? The connecting stories are beginning to come in, or your stories, your Flat Spring stories, and I've enjoyed reading them. We're going to put a copy of this in our history room, so I hope you'll take the time to do that. And if you want to write a 25-page paper, give me the Cliff Note version of that, would you? Like a page and a page and a half, because we do want to compile them all in one booklet. I'll be asking some of you to share your stories, maybe during worship, and then also during that weekend on the 17th and 18th as we share together. So I hope that you could get that. Be helpful to us if we could have them all in by March. Your directions are in the bulletin in that handout, and we would appreciate your help in that regard. Awana, you did well. Thank you for blessing us today. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people, His undenying people, in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, we leave having strengthened our rested faith, preparing our hearts when it becomes tested faith, that we might stand with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.